Father, we thank you so much that we have the Word of God this morning. And thank you, Lord, that we have it in our language, that we can study it, read it, meditate on it, and teach from it, Lord. Thank you that it's the foundation of our ministry here. And we thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us, that we might have salvation. Thank you for that one that told us, was not ashamed, was not bashful, but was bold in the Lord and was willing to witness for you. Thank you for that one that told us. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to tell one or two or many. Help us, Lord, not to be ashamed or scared, but to be bold in the Lord. As we live in these days, dear Lord, they need the Lord. It is so evident that people need the Lord. And whatever happened in France, dear Lord, and the bombings there and the tragedy there, it can happen easily here in our country as well. And Lord, help us to tell others that they might be prepared to step into eternity. And Lord, we give you this service this morning, and all that's done, help us to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in His name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as promised, we'll begin into the plagues today. This has taken us a few weeks to sort of set the groundwork and the foundation to be able to walk into the plagues and understanding what preceded, so that as we step into the plagues, we will understand them completely as the Holy Spirit allows us. And Exodus chapter 7 is where we'll begin this morning. Exodus chapter 7 again. So as we approach the first of the 10 plagues today that God sent upon Egypt, it is of the utmost importance that we remember those lessons that have preceded. All of those have been building up to this point to understand what happened as the power of God is demonstrated and revealed through these plagues, and especially this first plague. Jehovah is revealing Himself to the Israelites. Remember the word Lord? Jehovah, He is revealing Himself to His people, to His children, that I have not forgotten you. I will redeem you. And He's revealing Himself saying, I am the I am. He is the self-existing one. And this name, Jehovah, means He is the redemptive God, the redemptive nature of God. And He is going to perform what He has promised. Remember the covenant He made with Abraham? He will keep His covenant. And He is going to perfect His work that He has begun. And that is what all encompasses that name Jehovah, Yahweh, Lord, as it is in our Bible. And the God of the Hebrews, Jehovah Elohim, when you put Lord and God together, Jehovah Elohim, He is the Almighty God. He is the one true God. He is also revealing Himself to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians and to all the earth that He is the true God and all others are false. And then also He is revealing through His omnipotence, through His all-powerfulness, that He has power over nature, He has power over the elements, He has power over life, and He has power over death through His omnipotence. And that He is going to also show mercy and grace through these plagues. And lastly, as we approach the plagues of Egypt, keep in mind the various viewpoints as we talked about last week. As the viewpoints of Pharaoh and the viewpoints of the Egyptians and the viewpoints of the magicians and the viewpoints of the skeptics and the viewpoints of the Israelites. Keep in mind those viewpoints that every eyewitness is what they saw and how the plague affected them and their people. Those plagues affected them physically. Those plagues affected them mentally and socially, economically, and religiously. It's not just 10 plagues, 10 miracles of God, 10 revealings of God's power, and they're a great Bible story to teach kids, and the skeptics will try to describe them away and try to have an explanation of how nature really did this or how it was all a myth. No, this really happened. And the way it's recorded, that it's happened. And we can trust the Word of God that these were true occurrences. But they just weren't some parlor trick of God. These were mighty judgments upon the nation of Israel, or nation of Egypt, and upon their leader, the Pharaoh of Egypt. But it was also a judgment against the gods of Egypt. so that they could see that they were false gods. And Israel could see that idolatry has no place, no standing before God. So let's read here in verse 14 of Exodus chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink. Against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And go with me to verse 23. And it says, And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. So the miracle or the plague of the first plague of Egypt from God Almighty is turning the Nile River into blood. It is not the miracle. The miracle is not the killing of the fish in the river. That's a byproduct of the blood. And the stink of the river is not the miracle of God. That's a byproduct or a side effect of this miracle. God knew it was going to happen, and it was in His plan. But that was not the miracle. That was not the plague. The plague was to turn the waters of the Nile River into blood. And that was the first plague. But notice with me again, and it's in, let's begin back in verse 16. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews, notice that, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim of the Hebrews, has sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go. Again, he's reemphasizing, this is God's people, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And there's no more reference to let them go 3 days' journey and have sacrifice to me. He's saying, let them go into the wilderness and serve me. You're going to see that change as we progress. And behold, hereto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. I'm going to talk to you just this morning on, in this thou shalt know. That's what God, through Moses, is saying to Pharaoh. In this thou shalt know. And he's saying to the Egyptians, in this thou shalt know. And to us today, he is saying, in this thou shalt know that I am God. I am the Jehovah Elohim. I am the one true God. In this thou shalt know. In this revealing of the power of God, Pharaoh shall have no excuse, but shall know who the true God is and who is the false. Who is the false God? Even himself, as he considered himself a God, he shall know through this, in this thou shalt know that thou art no God. Thou art not a God. So firstly, we look at the plague. The waters of the Nile River were going to be turned to blood. It is not a natural occurrence, as we saw last week, as sometimes in the fall of the year, the waters turn red with an organism through the Nile River. This is no natural occurrence. This is God Almighty showing that the Nile River would be turned to blood. And that the side effects, as we've seen, were the fish of the river died and the river stank of blood and the Egyptians loathed. It means to hate or to look on with hatred and abhorrence, to loathe, to drink of the water. So the plague itself was the Nile, waters of the Nile turning to blood. And Moses met Pharaoh down at the water's edge. God said, you need to go down to the waters, Moses. And Pharaoh is coming. It's in verse 15, he says, get you down. It says, get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. So Moses, get down to the water. Pharaoh's coming. And this you're going to say to him. You're going to turn the waters. I'm going to turn the waters into blood. You know, Pharaoh was going down there either to bathe. He was going down there most likely to worship. Most of the religious idolatrous temples were along the waterfronts of the land of Egypt. And so most likely Pharaoh was going down to worship. And you see, you can hear Pharaoh. I can hear Pharaoh through these. And he's saying, how dare Moses and Aaron stand before me? Here they are again, these troublemakers. How dare they stand before me? How dare they attempt to humiliate me before my people and before the gods of the Nile? How dare they make some outlandish predictions that can turn the waters of the Nile to blood? Who do they think they are? Who do they think they are to be able to judge our gods? How dare they blaspheme the gods of the River Nile? Just they wait and see how they will be judged. Can you see Pharaoh? He thinks he's God. He thinks he's a god. He thinks he has been given divine protection. He thinks he has been given divine powers at birth. And he's like, how dare these two of the enslaved people come and stand before me? And the Nile River was sacred to the Egyptians. God starts at the very sacred that they hold dear to them. And he starts and shows them that what they hold as sacred is just an idol. But then once the waters of the Nile River had been turned to blood, what does Pharaoh do? He calls for his magicians. What trickery is this? Call the magicians in. He calls the magicians in. They're able to duplicate through some type of enchantments, through the illusions that Pharaoh sees what they're able to do, and his heart is hardened, and he turns and goes back into his home. But before, I could see him saying, see, Moses, see, Aaron, what you're doing is just trickery. What you're doing is just some illusion. What you're doing has no power over our gods. But the plague lasted for 7 days. This was no trickery. This was God Almighty changing the waters of the Nile into blood, with the side effects of causing all the fish that are in the waters to die. And the water stinking. And as we see the extent of the plague, notice what's going on in verse 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon the streams. It's not just the waters of Egypt. It says, upon the waters of Egypt. It's not just the Nile River, it's upon the waters of Egypt. Anywhere the waters of the Nile flowed, it was upon those waters. Upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, upon their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt. It's not just centralized where Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh are. It's throughout the land of Egypt. Both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. If they had dipped water out of the Nile or out of its tributaries or out of its canals, and they had dipped that and put it into vessels of stone or vessels of wood, that too was turned to blood. That's no organism. That's no natural occurrence. That is Almighty God changing these waters to blood. It goes on and says in verse 20, and Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. That's God. Just simply Aaron obeying God, taking the rod and striking the waters of the Nile, turned all the waters that were connected to the Nile River were polluted with blood, were turned to blood. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. Go verse 24. And all the Egyptians digged around about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river Notice it's not Aaron smiting the river, it's the Lord smiting the river. That's what it says in verse 25. The Lord had smitten the river. So the waters of the Nile were turned to blood, but also, Bible says, upon the waters of Egypt. This included the streams, it included the rivers, it included the ponds, it included the pools of water. It also included the tributaries of the Nile, the irrigation canals, the waterways, and even the water pulled from the Nile that was stored in vessels of stone and vessels of wood. The idolatrous places, the idolatrous temples of worship, where water was stored, and they had water used for almost all of their sacrifices and almost all of their worship of every god that they worshiped. They included waters from the Nile because it was sacred to them. And all of those places where the water was stored in these temples was turned to blood. In the palace of Pharaoh, the water that was stored for Pharaoh and his use and his home's use was turned to blood. In the homes of the Egyptians where they had stored water from their Nile River, from their sacred river, it was turned to blood. In the homes of the Israelites, if they had waters stored from the Nile, it was turned to blood. This plague also included the Israelites in the land of Goshen. In the places of business and places of entertainment, they were turned to blood. In places where the fountains and the plazas and in the marketplaces they had water from these waters of the Nile, they were turned to blood. Everywhere in Egypt, the waters had been turned to blood. That is the plague. Even the Israelites at this time were still under the watchful gaze of the taskmasters. They still had to produce their tale of bricks. They still had a quota of bricks they had to produce every day. It didn't stop just because the plague started. They were still slaves. They still had to do their job that they had been enslaved to do and the taskmasters over them and the officers over them. Well, what is one of the key ingredients of making brick but mud? And where does the mud come from? But from the sides of the river and the sides of the ponds and the sides of the streams and the sides of the irrigation canals and the sides of the waterways. And as they go and to collect that mud, now it is covered in blood. And as they continue and try to connect and collect hay and stubble to mix in with the brick to make a form of the brick, it was not going to grow properly. They don't know how long this plague's going to last. God doesn't tell them it's going to last 7 days. We know that. But they did not know how long this plague was going to last. And they are tasked to make brick. And as they go to make brick and they get the mud and then they go to try to get the hay and the hay's not going to grow. It's like you can just see their minds like, how are we going to collect hay when the waters of the irrigation channels that bring it into the crops is filled with blood. It's no longer water, it is blood. This was throughout Egypt. Anywhere waters of the Nile were utilized or stored, they were turned to blood. There just wasn't blood in it. It just wasn't red food coloring. It was all blood. No water, but blood. And then we see the judgment upon those that were infected with this, that were there amongst the plague of Egypt. And they see what's going on, these eyewitnesses, the judgment of the plague is seen in Exodus 10 and verse 7. As we've had a few plagues come from now, and we see the people come to Pharaoh, we saw last week in this verse, 10:7. Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Notice this last phrase of verse 7. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Egypt, the land of Egypt, is being destroyed by these plagues. And then again over in Numbers chapter 33. If you'll notice with me, Numbers 33 and verse number 4, we saw again last week, Numbers 33, verse 4, "For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn." This is after the last plague. "And the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them. Upon their gods also the Lord executed judgments." God was judging not just the people, not just the Pharaoh, but He was judging their gods. So this judgment of the plague was upon the land of Egypt. Included in this plague, in the first three plagues, the land of Goshen where the Israelites are living, it was included in the judgment of these plagues. This judgment included and was upon Pharaoh and upon the false gods associated with the Nile River. It was not only just upon Pharaoh and not just upon the inhabitants around the river. It infected every living creature that lived in Egypt. Think of where their water they drink comes from. Think of the crops and the grasses that they eat and where it gets its nutrients from and its waterings from. Think of the people that have to have water. We have to have water to drink. It infected every living creature physically, but then it also affected the population mentally and socially, again, economically and religiously. So this judgment affected not just the surface that we see, but it also affects the drinking water. And it says, again, chapter 7, verse 24, "All the Egyptians digged around about the river for water to drink." They had to find water. You cannot survive without water. And so they're digging, they're laboring to try to find water. "And all the Egyptians digged around about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river." Now, of course, they would have had to have found water, or they would not have survived. And that shows God's mercy in the midst of judgment. It was also upon a major food source for the Egyptians, for what lived in the waters of the Nile but the fish. And the Egyptians ate a lot of fish. But they also ate birds that congregated and lived off of the waters and the creatures that were in the Nile. So they ate the fish of the river and they ate the birds outside of the river. Not all, but some of the birds. Some they said were sacred. It affected the waters that irrigated their soils, their gardens, their crops. Their livestock had to be hydrated. They did not know how long this would last. And the judgment affected a major means of transportation for the Egyptians. For they used the Nile as their primary source of transportation with boats. They transported all their stone down the river on the boats. They transported their crops and their people and their business and their royalty upon the waters of Egypt. But it says that the water stank. And the death and the devastation would have hampered this. Probably wouldn't have stopped it, but it would have hampered it for 7 days. But really, the judgment was primarily against the false gods associated with the Nile River. And there were many. There was Anuakit. She was the goddess of the Nile. There was Hapi, God of the Nile. So we had the God and the goddess of the Nile, the God and goddesses of the Nile River and the waters of the Nile River. It was against them that God was judging. It was against Hapmeet, which was the fish goddess. And when she was supposedly to appear, she would appear as a fish. Well, what died in all the waters but the fish? And then you have Khnum. He was the guardian of the Nile and of its sources. But most importantly, he was considered the creator of mankind. And he created mankind, supposedly, from the mud and the waters of the Nile. Just judging their creator, their God that they say is their creator. He's God Almighty is judging them and judging him. But then Osiris was one of the most revered gods in Egypt. He was the god of the underworld, the god of the dead. But the Egyptians believed that the Nile, the waters of the Nile, were his bloodstream. What better way to judge him than to turn the waters of the Nile into blood? And then there was Neith and Hathor. They were protectors of fish in the Nile. There was Sobek. He was the crocodile god. He was the god of the Nile and protector of the Pharaoh. God judged him. Can you see all the crocodiles just coming out of the waters on Nile? And what is that going to do to Egyptians from their viewpoint? Why is our God, our crocodile God, why is he leaving his waters? You see all the fish start floating to the top and they're all dead. Yes, it's a food source, but it's also one of their goddesses that they're worshiping. And then there's two other gods that are associated with them that are the protector of the fish. And they have all died. And then there is Torit. She is considered the goddess of fertility, but she's represented by a hippopotamus. Hippopotamus, they can't live in a water that's now turned to blood. They're going to come up out of the rivers. And then there's Thoth. He's represented by the ibis bird, and he is the god of all wisdom and knowledge. See how God is judging the Egyptians' gods? He is showing through this first plague that I'm more powerful than your creator God. I'm more powerful than your food source God. I'm more powerful than your wisdom and knowledge God. I'm more powerful than your God of the dead and the underworld. I'm more powerful than your creator God. I'm more powerful than the God of your waters that you hold most sacred. I am the true God. Amen. So just in this first plague, God has judged what one thing all Egyptians kept sacred was the waters of the Nile, the giver of life. He struck immediately at the heart of their beliefs. He judged their creator God. He judged the God of their dead. He judged the protector God of the Pharaoh. He judged the gods of their fertility and life and happiness. He judged the God of their wisdom and knowledge, as well as the source of the water supply and the food supply and the transportation and of the places of worship. He judged them all with this first plague, showing that he is the one true God and all of these others are false. In this thou shalt know. God revealed himself to Pharaoh, to the Egyptians, and to the Israelites that he is the one true God, and that an additional 9 plagues were to continue in God's plan to bring them in the full realization that the worship of the gods of Egypt was in fact idolatrous worship, and that the God of the Hebrews was the one true God. Yet Pharaoh, it says, turned his back and went into his home on this revelation. And the Egyptians, what did they do? They turned to their own strength and their own wisdom to try to dig and find water. Another plague was right around the corner. Our land today worships many gods. Even here in America today, money is a huge god. Self is a big god. Pride, things, nature. We're no better than the Egyptians. We as a country and a world today, we worship many gods. And unfortunately, God is going to judge those gods. And we must come to the realization that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that Jehovah Elohim is the one true God. And if we don't serve and worship him, then we're serving and worshiping a false god. And we have seen already, in this thou shalt know that I am the one true God. Turn to him, worship him, serve him, and turn from those things that you're serving. So I don't serve an idol. If you put anything before God, that's what you're serving. If you say, well, I can't come to church today because of this one thing. You know, there's some people that have to work. There's some people that have to work on Sunday. They can't get around that. They can't change their schedule. But if you have a choice, and you put this one thing before God and God's worship and God's place if you put this one thing before giving your tithes, if you place this one thing before loving Christ above all others, that's what you're serving. That's what you're worshiping. Let us examine our hearts and see what we are worshiping. Is it the one true God? Is He first in our lives? I pray He is. Heavenly Father, thank You for this lesson. There's so much more to this plague than I know I've touched, Lord. But as we've looked at it here for these few minutes, Lord, I pray that it's been enough to show us that God is not just judging and doing a miracle here, showing His power. He is revealing to not just Pharaoh, not to the Egyptians, not just to the Israelites, but the Bible says to all the earth that He is the one true God. And we can see further on in the books of the Old Testament where even the peoples that lived in the land of Canaan, they heard of these plagues. And they knew what a powerful God that the Hebrews served. And Lord, I pray that You would help us today to examine our hearts and to see if there's anything in there that we are worshiping more than You. We should have God Almighty as the first priority in our lives and serving and worshiping Him. I pray that You bless the next hour, bless our pastor, bless all the teachers, dear Lord, bless the congregation here and those that will be coming in. I pray, dear Lord, if one's lost here today, the Holy Spirit would convict their hearts and they would turn to Him. Thank You for all that You do for us. Guide and direct the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.